Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So we spent some time on this yesterday, Keith. The Patriots underdogs, and how are they underdogs against the Buffalo Bills? And I didn't expect Vrabel and Diggs and Drake May all to be asked about it yesterday. I was Drake May discussing being an underdog. I'm just double-checking now where the line is at. FanDuel really hasn't moved in 2 days. Pats are still point-and-a-half underdogs. They are plus 100 on the money line. So as you said earlier, it's not like they're two touchdown underdogs. It's not like Phillip Rivers minus 13.5
I mean,
at Seattle. I mean, it's
1 point.
It's a coin flip, and yet I'm still surprised they're underdogs. DraftKings, I guess, has fluctuated, but their line right now mirrors FanDuel. Point and a half, little more juice on that side of it, and plus 100 for the Patriots. So that's right around what we're talking about. And I think it's interesting that the players all dealt with it yesterday. Vrabel was like pretty willing to embrace the idea of talking about odds makers and the lines and survivor pools and everything else, which I guess
too soon for me on the survivor pool.
It felt like a direct shot.
Yeah, I know. I was like, come on.
But on the one hand, I guess I appreciate the honesty and like, of course, all these coaches know about it and pay attention to it. On the other hand, like maybe you shouldn't acknowledge that from a PR standpoint, but whatever. How much of a factor do you think that is in terms of the Patriots getting prepared, motivated, amped, if you will, for the game on Sunday? Do they even need that added edge?
I really don't think they need it. I mean, they literally can win the division on Sunday. That's what's on the line. I think also just going up against Josh Allen again, the reigning MVP, even though they're ahead of the Bills in the standings, the Bills went into this season as the clear-cut favorite in the division. I think there's an easy motivation with this game. You saw how crazy it was the first time they played them, and that's when the Patriots were 2-2 going into that game. We didn't know what this Patriots team was really going to become the first time they played them, but that was as energized and engaged into a game, I think, as we had seen. And so I think there's so many things that Mike Vrabel can kind of point to motivate the team that maybe it gets sort of thrown on the pile, but you don't lead with that. I don't think this is going to be one of those things I brought up earlier, like when Tom Brady – kind of went overboard after they beat the Chiefs. Like, oh, everybody says we suck. I mean, like, we had no chance. You know, and Mike Vrabel was a teammate of Rodney Harrison, who would always find, like, the one guy out there picking against him and be like, oh, my God, can you believe this guy said that? I don't think you really need it for this game. Like, that might be more something that you look for when you have been a perennial winner. Like, if this team had won two Super Bowls and now they were an underdog, you're like, wait, why are you an underdog now?
No, it's like the Rodney Harrison thing, you know, way back when. Although, I guess Harrison wasn't a part of the first Super Bowl winner, and they were on their way to winning
a second.
But
those two other ones,
they won,
he would always, yeah.
And he's just like, oh, no one believes in us and no one's picking us. It's like, most people kind of believe in you at this point in time. If people don't believe in the Patriots, like, we're in New England. I think we probably disagree with that. But I bet there are a lot of people who say, well, who have they beat? I mean, Buffalo.
I think it's taken a lot of people.
Who have they beat, and are they for real? And I honestly would feel this way about a lot of teams coming out of nowhere with a second-year quarterback or a young quarterback, and you look at the overall talent, and I think it's better than we expected here in New England, but I wouldn't expect a random fan in Kansas or whatever to look at the Pats roster and go, oh, that's a really talented roster. It's just, are they ahead of schedule? Is it time to buy in? I don't blame anybody for keeping them at arm's length. That said, I'm surprised they're not favored at home against a team they already beat.
Yeah, I thought it'd be slight. I thought they might be favored just by like that home margin of like 2.5 or whatever, but they kind of went the other way. If the Bills were in Denver, what do you think the line would be? Do you think they'd be favored in Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. So they might just be favored.
Good point.
Almost anywhere. Like, maybe they're still buying in on them. Just like at the start of the season, I think.
Good point.
Start and midway
through. In Denver, would the Bills be favored? My answer is probably.
Yeah, they might be. But not by much. But
I don't know that I'd pick them, but do I think the line would reflect that? Yeah,
oh, probably. Well, actually, don't we have proof of this? I mean, they're not the same team, obviously, but Denver is home to the Packers, and Green Bay's favored. You're like, Denver's 11-2, undefeated at home, has the best defense.
Good point.
And it's actually 2.5.
Yeah, we were talking about that line earlier in the week. We're like, how are the Packers favored?
So
there?
Maybe part of that is just... I mean, in that specific case, there's a NFC is better than the AFC kind of component. But the other part might be like, all right, it's year two for Bo Nix, year two for Drake May. Nix had obviously more team success a year ago. But you're talking about Josh Allen. Like, it's taken people 14 weeks to finally wake up and be like, maybe the Chiefs don't have it. But they got the benefit of the doubt every single week. They would lose. And you're like, I mean, still Mahomes. And like, we were guilty of it.
We were giving him, not right up until this week, but we were,
no, we were
giving him the benefit of the doubt for a long period of time.
Yeah, so now that has kind of changed a little bit. But out of all those top quarterbacks, the one team that, at least in the AFC, that hasn't like fallen off this year is the Bills. Now, they're not as good. You know, they're 9-4. We had our guy Sal Capaccio on earlier today, and he was even saying like, yeah, like since, I guess, well, it's been about 5-6 seasons where Josh Allen's been a true MVP candidate, this is their worst team.
Yeah.
And they might not have to play Kansas City, but it might not matter. Like, they might lose to somebody else. I could definitely see them losing to the Patriots or the Broncos or even the Texans in the playoffs.
Text line says, guys, it's weather, snow and cold. May has small hands. Worth minus 3 points.
How dare you?
I mean, there's some projected snow
is
showers
there a little snow?
In the morning is okay. What I'm seeing. 32 degrees, low of 16.
Ooh, so, that's cold.
It'll definitely be cold. I don't know how much snow it's going to be. Do you think it's the weather? I don't think that's why the line is that way. I don't.
No. I think it is a Josh Allen thing.
Yeah, maybe it's respect for Buffalo.
Milton Williams is hurt. Campbell's hurt.
I still think it could be some injuries, too. I still think it has something to do with Vegas just not believing the Patriots are going to rip off 14 straight and go 15-2. And
I also
they got to lose somewhere, yeah. And this is probably where they're going to lose if they lose. So my guess is it's something like that.
Yeah, maybe there's a little bit of just like this season at some point has to get
like, are they really a 15-2 team? I don't think so.
But also, how many times do you think – maybe Josh Allen doesn't deserve this type of credit, but like how many times has Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, when they're not playing each other, how many times has one of those guys been like plus money just to win? You know, so I wonder if they're also kind of catching themselves there. Be like, these guys consistently win 11, 12, 13
right.
games.
We're going to give you plus money on Josh Allen?
Yeah, no.
I mean, you
you kind of cover yourself.
But then again, you say that about Mahomes. I bet the Chiefs the whole way to the Super Bowl that year plus money.
But like the Chiefs.
2 years ago.
The Chiefs are 3 games worse than the Chargers in the standings.
Yep.
This weekend, the Chiefs are 5.5 point favorites. It's like, okay, like I guess we're not paying attention to the Chiefs.
I guess
like,
we're not. So good point. Good point. Text line, dude. You guys have spent the last 6 to 8
dude,
weeks.
Dude, me or dude, him?
Good question. Dudes, maybe. You guys have spent the last 6 to 8 weeks. Well, actually, probably you. It's probably Mingles texting. He's just texting
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
You guys have spent the last 6 to 8 weeks convincing yourselves that the Patriots are good enough to deserve the hype. What does it tell you that they're not?
Well, I think they still are. I mean, it's a 1-point swing. You know, we're just pointing it out because maybe it's like a little bit of a surprise. I think just how people view the Bills and Josh Allen over the course of the year, it's hard to really change that over the course of a season. But all right, whatever. Still another opportunity for them, and we'll see what happens. And if they win this, like then yeah, I think wait till you hear us on Monday if they win this one.
Well,
yeah, obnoxious.
Well, I can't wait to hear where Cam Newton moves the goalpost to.
Guns.
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe.
Maybe. Oh, division title.
Yeah.
Confetti guns for the division.
That's a good call.
I don't see why.
Honestly,
not.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
They're just sitting down there.
If they want to send us a t-shirt and a hat, I'll wear it. Not a big deal. If they want to, they can.
Oh, should we campaign for t-shirts and hats?
Well, if they want to.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We take them.
We
take
force them to do anything.
It would look nice with the glitter guns on Monday.
Did you see what Greg got? Did you see what Greg got?
I don't know. What'd he get?
So he got a Red Sox City Connect wooden baseball bat.
Oh.
It's like a green baseball bat.
I didn't
Nick,
see
you
it.
Saw it.
I didn't see
He's
it, but
walking around the hallway with
it. I heard
He's
you
like
talk-
Negan. Or Jerod Mayo at a meeting, walking around.
I didn't see it, but I heard you talking about this. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Well, I saw somebody.
You want a City Connect bat now?
Not really, but I do feel a little left out.
Well, Greg did taunt you with it.
You know, he's pointing at me. I was like, what are you going to go hit flies to somebody? Like, what are you going to do with that?
HR? You got an HR issue here? Or what do you got?
All right, yeah, all right, guys, turn two. He's going to start. He's going to get a field of kids out there to hit grounders to. But it was, I saw the box at first, and it was like this long box, and you're like, was in there like a poster? Like it was like long.
Oh, it looked
and,
like one of those.
Yeah,
like
yeah
rolled
yeah.
up. Yeah, I got
no,
you.
Took okay. it out. Boom. Baseball bat.
Yeah, but we'll
I
take.
Didn't know they had those things.
We'll take the hat and T-shirt, and
yeah.
the and
Pat's
the
hat.
And the glitter guns
and a nor'easter helmet.
But I am curious, like, what's Cam Newton gonna? What's Cam Newton gonna do if they win that game? Is it, to be the best, you got to beat the best 2 times.
Well, they haven't beat Lamar yet.
He's gonna say, actually, because of the way the playoffs are formatted, you got to beat him
three times.
I hope that that's what he should do.
Honestly, I hope that's what he does.
That's what he should
just
do.
Just keep moving the goalposts at this point. You might as well
3 times.
You're like what? 617-779.
Hard to beat a team 3 times, is it?
Yeah,
you beat them the first 2 times.
I feel like
you
if you do it, you should be able to do it the 3rd time. You can weigh in there on the phones. We'll get to you in a moment. We talked to Sal Capaccio. You were referencing this earlier about kind of the view on the game, and if they can't do it now, maybe they'll never do it. He's like, the fans are all out on Sean McDermott, although he wasn't, which I thought was interesting. But his answers on Steph Diggs, and you started by asking him about Diggs and, you know, what the Patriots are getting out of him and all this. We asked if there was a shelf life in his experience from Steph Diggs, because, look, I've been more surprised than just about anybody. I didn't think he'd be on the field. I didn't think he'd be this kind of leader and or teammate. I didn't expect the production. Like, I expected none of it, quite frankly. And I still wonder if the other shoe is going to drop at some point in time. We asked, is there a shelf life for Steph Diggs? Here's what Sal Capaccio said.
I think it does. It did in Minnesota, and we were told that. It's so funny. You're asking me this, and I ask the exact same questions to people in Minnesota when this happened. And you're like, yeah, but everything's great here. And he's got, you know, this younger quarterback he's working with, and it's amazing. And this great relationship. And people in Minnesota said, just wait, just wait. And I'm like, no. Well, guess what? Just wait. And I'll say the same thing to you guys. And that's, hey, I don't know. He's at a different point of his career, though, right? And, you know, we'll see how it ends. Stephon Diggs is the ultimate competitor. There's no doubt about that. I do not think he's a bad teammate in any sense. I think what happens, though, is Stephon has this aura and this weight about him that he is so competitive. He is so much of a guy that, you know, has a name and a spotlight that I think it becomes heavy around him. And if everything's not going exactly perfectly well, that becomes tough to sustain. I think that's what's happened in Minnesota and Buffalo.
Hmm. So a couple of ways to spin it positive is Steph Diggs has this season literally addressed some of those exact things. Like, he's said that, like, I'm super competitive, maybe too competitive, and I've had, you know, issues in the past or whatever. I forget the exact wording of it, but, like, he's addressed what Sal was talking about.
Yep.
And
even,
I do want...
Even
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, I heard Greg Show talking about this today, like the seven dogs, one bone thing. It's like, you know, like, we all want the ball.
Right.
We all want the ball, and we all want to get our touches, and we're all good, and hopefully we all get them, and, you know, we have to have that mentality.
Yeah.
Like, he's addressed a lot of
that. And even, like, you know, just to compare it to, like, yourself or to anybody else out there, like, he's 32 now. So when he's 22 and when he's 27, probably could be different. I know I'm a lot different at 22 to
different
32.
Than Minnesota. This was 2 years ago at the end in Buffalo.
At the end of Buffalo. Was, no, that's fair. But like, but at some point, there is going to be a little bit of a maturing process. And you were going over his numbers earlier today. Do you think if he had a stretch in Buffalo where he had 20 yards, 18 yards, 50 yards, 20 yards, it'd be completely quiet? It's been completely quiet, and he's been like a leader on top of it.
Right.
He's been like the center of these pregame, like, rah-rah things to get the team going. All the guys speak very well about him, and he is like echoing the head coach. So I'm not naive to say, like, there's never going to be any problem. I also, credit to me, predicted
a honeymoon
period.
You
I was
sure
like,
yeah,
it happened everywhere he's been.
Yep.
Like, and also at this stage of his career, how many more years of football does he have left in him? And he might even start to think about that. It'd be great if he did. He might even start to think about
that.
He's
actually too old for the Red Sox.
He's
good
way too old
point.
For the Sox.
Yeah, Red Sox never would have signed him.
But, I mean, this is his 11th year in the NFL. Like, that's way longer than the average career span. That's longer than some guys that are, like, in the Hall of Fame. Like, that's a good career. And so maybe he does approach things a little bit differently now than he did, even just as early as 2 years ago.
So here's the thing. That is not a concern of mine right now. Like, I'm not concerned about if there's a shelf life with Steph Diggs for this year. I don't think it's going to be an issue this year. I don't think. I mean, you know, if they drop a couple of games, which I don't forecast them doing with the schedule they have remaining, if they drop a couple of games in a row, maybe. But I'm not worried about it this year. That is looming with Diggs. It is. And I'm okay with paying him. Like, I'd pay him in the offseason. He has a glorified one-year deal. I'd pay him, but I go into it knowing at some point, Keith, the honeymoon is going to be over.
Well, right. And I feel like this four-game regular season stretch, hopefully a long playoff stretch, yeah, you don't even have to worry about it. You don't have to ask a second question about it. Like, it's all good. This offseason, it'll be interesting. Like, do they go to him? I heard Ninkovich and Wiggy talking about this even a couple weeks ago. Like, does they go to him and say, look, we're going to change your contract. We're going to give you more upfront money. We're going to save cap space. Like, what do you think? And if he says yes, okay, maybe you don't have a problem. But if it's like, hey, we want you back, but we don't really want to pay you this, then, like any player, receiver, tackle, whatever.
He's not going to play on his current contract. It's something like, I don't have it in front of me. We read it last week, but something like 1.7 guaranteed.
But this is where you got to be careful.
It's like, he's not, if they're like, we want you back on this contract, there's no chance he's doing that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Or like if the number that they view him as is way less than his number. Okay, but that's with any player. Hell, a former friend of the show, Lawrence Guy. Same thing. The last guy in the world you would think would have like a money dispute or whatever, and even he did at the end. So if they go way too low with the offer, then yeah, like with any player, you could cause a problem.
Well, you hope they don't start feeling themselves a little bit and say, while at one end of my mouth I'm like, there will be a time to reckon with it. I'd still pay him and I'd give him, you know, a similar deal to what he got, just stretch it out over 2 years or whatever. Yeah. If he wants more than that, then come talk to me. But I want him on the team next year. You hope that they don't start feeling themselves and say, well, we found Diggs this offseason. We can find another guy like that. And we can make it work with Booty and Hollins and this and that and, like, trying to piece it together.
Mm-hmm.
You hope they don't do that after 1 year, right, depending on where it goes. But I do wonder when the honeymoon period, as you called it, is over with Steph Diggs. And up in Buffalo, they're waiting for it. Ken is in Granby. Hello, Ken.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great.
So, you know, I've been thinking about it the last couple of days, and I think the Patriots are going to win on Sunday, no problem, because I was watching The Replacements the other night. You remember Gene Hackman in that?
I do. Looking at us from the sky.
Okay, so he said the one thing that they had was heart, and Steph Diggs keeps saying it. We're all we got. We're all we need. We got this. And the Bills have been a hat trick.
Bills have been a hat trick?
Shane Falco talked about quicksand in that movie.
Am I missing a joke in there? It's been a little bit since I've seen The Replacements. I've seen
Gene Hackman had a sweet hat in that movie.
I see.
Shane Falco was a good reclamation project. Although, really,
the Bills, do you mean the Bills hat trick? Like the Patriots will beat him three times?
Maybe.
What did
now
mean
the
there?
Problem yeah. is that is a good movie. I like the movie. They're all scabs. We really shouldn't like any of these guys. None of them should have been playing. None of them.
Well,
no,
they got the opportunity to play.
Yeah.
Did Falco stay in the NFL? What happened with
him? I doubt it.
No?
I think he took off with that cheerleader.
Is that how that ended?
Yeah, I don't blame him. Let's just say I don't blame the guy.
That was nice.
I think that's
nice.
That was nice.
Yeah,
real nice.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here with all your thoughts on Pats and Bills on Sunday. Patriots are underdogs. High over-under in the game. Earlier today, we said, what, high 20s they got to get to win that game?
Mm-hmm.
I feel if you get there, which you did not in the first matchup, I feel pretty good about their chances. So you can discuss with WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Yeah, got Hart. Yeah, got Fitzy. Yeah, got Ted. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after trending with Nick LaPan, it's time for Grab Bag.
Grab bag.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.